This is KERA News. Hundreds of kids are still separated from their migrant parents despite yesterday's deadline for the Trump administration to reunite families. And even more are in a kind of gray area, separated from one parent, some in detention, some out, living with an aunt or grandparent. Nina Satija has been following one of those families for the Texas Tribune and the public radio news program Reveal. KERA's Rick Holter connected with her for this week's Friday conversation.
You met a dad stuck in the middle of the bridge from Matamoros to Brownsville. He'd been there for days through storms and wind and heat. Here's a bit of your story for Reveal.
Marcos is from Guatemala. He has shaggy dark hair. He's wearing jeans and a gray t-shirt. He's 22, and his wife and four children are caught in the fray.
They separated them. She's in one place and my kids are in another.
Nina, how did Marcos get to that bridge?
Marcos was fleeing persecution in Guatemala, and he and his wife have very separate, distinct asylum cases. I can talk about his case. I can't talk about his wife's case. But essentially, back in February, they started getting anonymous phone calls from a gang that they believed to have been MS-13 in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of indeterminate threats. You know, if you don't listen to me, we're going to come after you. There will be consequences. Armed men started showing up at the family's house in southwest Guatemala, and at one point the men banged on the door while just one of their four sons was home by himself with a neighbor. So that's when they decided to flee, took the kids out of school, and head north.
Did they both go to Matamoros? Is that how they were going through?
That's right, yes. After the family decided to flee Guatemala, they decided that Sandy and the kids would go first and Marcos would follow. In fact, Marcos didn't know this when we met him on the bridge, but Sandy and the kids had, in fact, crossed the border at that very same bridge in Matamoros just a few weeks earlier.
Now, he and the family were seeking asylum. How is that process supposed to work?
The way it's supposed to work is you can legally seek asylum by presenting yourself at a port of entry. So that would be an international bridge between Mexico and the United States, for instance, or it could even be an airport. You go to this port of entry and you turn yourself over to the agents there and you say, I want to seek asylum. And so that's what Marcos was doing. That's what Sandy and the kids had wanted to do weeks earlier. What happened to all of them was they encountered Customs and Border Protection agents standing on the halfway point of the bridges, basically literally not letting them go onto the U.S. side of the bridge and saying, you need to wait. So Sandy and the kids ended up having to spend about one night sleeping on the bridge before they were allowed to cross, according to Sandy's mother. Marcos, you know, when we met him, he had been there for two nights.
So Sandy and the kids were split up. Sandy was taken to the Port Isabel Detention Center. The kids were taken to Phoenix. What were the conditions like there in Port Isabel?
Port Isabel is a pretty notorious civil immigration detention center. The place looks like a prison. You know, it's not technically a prison, but it operates mm-hmm. like a prison. You know, meals are at very strict times. You go somewhere accompanied by a guard at all times. The facility is surrounded by barbed wire. It's very difficult to get in there, even for lawyers. It can take hours to get through security and wait for a room to meet with your clients. So it's not a friendly place to be.
Now, Sandy and the kids were reunited, and you caught up with them at her mom's apartment in California. And there's one detail that kind of brings this all home. When all this started, Sandy had been breastfeeding her five-month-old baby.
That's right. She was breastfeeding her baby, and it's pretty hard to imagine even how she was able to travel with these four children, ages 5 months to 12 years old, across, you know, southern Mexico into the United States. But she was breastfeeding her baby, and when the Customs and Border Protection agents took him away along with her three other sons, you know, she told them, she said, but I'm still breastfeeding him. It wasn't as though she was in the act at the moment, but, you know, he's a five-month-old baby.
Right.
And they took him anyway.
And then in California, she found she had no milk.
That's right. In California, we saw her giving the baby formula, and she said, this is what I have to do now because my breast milk dried up while I was at Port Isabel, separated from my son. So that was a really emotional moment. Obviously, hard to imagine what she would have gone through in Port Isabel when that happened and how she's dealing with it now.
So where does the family stand now?
There's a long road ahead for the family. They, you know, because Sandy had tried to cross into the United States previously to this attempt and been deported, she hadn't known about the concept of asylum at the time. She only learned about it later. She's not actually eligible for full asylum. she's eligible for what's called withholding of removal. And if she ultimately wins her case in front of an immigration judge, she can stay in the United States, but she can never get permanent residency. She can't get a green card. Mm-hmm. She can get work authorization, but you know, leaving the country is precarious because it's not clear whether she'd be able to come back. On top of that, usually if you apply for full asylum, your kids and potentially even your spouse can be folded into your application. And so the whole family can apply together. That's mm-hmm. one lawyer, that's one application. Because Sandy's only eligible for withholding of removal, she cannot do that. And so all four of the kids have to have separate cases.
And where's Marcos right now?
We actually don't know. When we were at the family's apartment in California, you know, Marcos wasn't there. His mother-in-law, Sandy's mother, had said that she hadn't heard from him in a while. He was still stuck in Mexico trying to figure out what to do. And I think part of it was waiting on what happens with his wife's withholding of removal case to see if it makes sense to actually try and cross and seek asylum himself.
Nina, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks a lot, Rick.